And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. So glad you're with us today. We're going to be looking at something extremely important to your economic future, to the future of America, and really to world affairs in general, and even to prophetic events. You know, since the April disaster in the Gulf of Mexico with the British Petroleum, BP, actually they don't call themselves British Petroleum anymore, just simply BP, with the disaster of the Deepwater Horizon oil rig, or derrick, and the loss of life of those who worked on the oil derrick, we've received a number of phone calls here in the ministry, and, you know, some people just don't quite believe the official account. I mean, I would say there's a whole gaggle or league of regiment almost of conspiracy scientists. And they have, like mine, they have inquiring minds. And, you know, they just don't trust the media. Now, isn't that odd? Now, you and I know that the media never lies to us, and it always gives us the full details, and whatever the White House says or the CEO, Mr. Hayward of BP, certainly we can believe that, can't we? Well, apparently many of you don't think so. And many of you trust Tex Mars and Power of Prophecy Ministries to get our little investigative hats on and find out what really happened. And I have been doing that for some months now, ever since the so-called explosion and the capsizing of the oil derrick in the Gulf of Mexico. I've always been interested in this, you see, because I was raised on the Gulf of Mexico, down near Port Arthur, Beaumont, Texas. Just really 30 minutes from the coast there. I was there when the hurricanes came in as a young man going to middle school, I guess they call it junior high back then, and elementary and high school. Every few years would have a hurricane come in. And I knew all the people in the oil industry, or a lot of them, even as a young man, because my dad, you know, worked at an oil refinery. Actually, they refined oil and turned it into synthetic rubber for U.S. Rubber Company. Out of Port Neches or Beaumont, Port Arthur, Texas. They call that the Golden Triangle, that area there, Orange, Beaumont, Port Arthur, because really it was so rich in oil and petrochemicals. At Beaumont, of course, was where a man named Padilla with some friends, Wildcatters, discovered the, at that time in 1905, 1901 through 1905 era, the largest oil field in really the world at that time, practically. Certainly the largest in North America, the Spindletop oil discovery. There's a museum there today. You can visit it and see the old pictures of the old wooden derricks gushing with oil up toward the sky and so forth. Quite a fascinating place, this museum. Made a little town there out of it, a little town like the old Beaumont boomtown. Beaumont, I think, went from a couple of thousand to 100,000 people like in about 1 or 2 years back then. It's very interesting because Rockefeller sent his lieutenant, a man named Colonel E. Mandel House, a Texan, to Beaumont and said, buy it up for me at the cheapest prices you can. Get it quick. I want to own that oil. So it was brought into the Standard Oil empire by Mr. John D. Rockefeller. Rockefeller, of course, owned about 80% of all the oil assets in the United States. And the Rockefeller empire is still big in oil today. And, you know, it's interesting, but the Rockefeller Standard Oil Company, which became ExxonMobil and many other names, you know, Texaco and Pennzoil, and all those were really originally Mobile, Humble, all of those became part of the Chevron. They were originally part of Standard Oil. But it's interesting that Standard Oil called itself the Standard Oil Bank. They sort of operated as a bank. And in fact, Chase Manhattan and other banks were founded by the Rockefellers, that dynasty. So they were both into oil and the banking. Seems like those are the two industries that run the world. Oil and banking. Lubricate. One lubricates pocketbooks and one lubricates industry, it seems. And so I was very interested in what was going on in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, I did a audio tape or CD, whichever one you prefer. You can still order it. I think it's one of the most important in terms of economic investigations I've ever done, entitled Planet Petroleum a little while back. Planet Petroleum. I talked about how America was easily self-sufficient in oil, petroleum, and America, the United States of America, has more oil in its reserves than any other location, any other country in the world. But the big boys don't want us to bring it out of the ground. The more oil you drill for, pump out of the ground, well, obviously, the less the price of oil is. The more oil that comes up, the more the price of the oil per barrel goes down. It's the old supply and demand. Anybody, economics 101 would teach you that, or common sense would. If there's too much of a resource, an excess supply, well, everybody's going to drop their prices. But if it's a rare resource, scarce, hard to find, hard to get, then the people that own it are going to raise the price to you. That's why the oil industry founded the environmental movement. They needed the political power of the environmental movement to keep most of the oil shut off. The oil spigot turned off. And this way, they could raise the price of oil and blame it on the environmentalist. If only we could drill, they would say. You know, back in the Great Depression, milk farmers said there's such an excess of milk, we can't get any money for our milk. So the government comes in and says, well, okay, we'll start a new program, a socialist program, in which we pay you not to produce so much milk with your dairies. And so the farmers that had these dairy farms, many people were eyewitnesses to the fact that they began to receive this money from the federal government to destroy their milk. And they would take huge containers of milk and overturn it. They said in some little towns where there were some big dairy farms, the ditches ran white with milk. But at the same time, people were starving to death and little babies had no milk to drink because it was the Great Depression. They did the same thing with corn and peanuts and all kind of other crops. They just ground them into the dirt, destroyed them. People were starving, but they said there's too much food. We need to raise the price. And you know what? Even today, dairy farmers receive subsidies from the government not to produce milk. The less milk produced, the higher the price will be. I don't know why people don't understand basic economics, but that's true. The oil men do not want to pump but a smidgen of the oil that's available out of the ground at one time. Did you know they have an agency in the state of Texas, which is one of the biggest oil producing states in the United States? And it gives a quota to oil companies, wildcatters, and individuals who own oil lands and tells them how many barrels they can produce each month. And it's only a fraction of their capability. A lot of people say, why can't we drill in Alaska? We got more up there, the North Slope of Alaska, than is found in the entire Middle East. Well, that's true, but oil companies don't want to drill for it. They complain about those mean, cruel, old, nonsensical environmentalists. It's a big conspiracy. The same environmentalists that they fund and sponsor and keep in operation. Keep them going. Now, I want you to understand something, dear friends. That Rockefeller was not the only oil man in the world. There was another dynasty into banking that decided it too would go into oil. The Rothschilds from Europe. And they earnestly began their oil company operations, and they had a number of oil companies. You can read about this on Wikipedia or the encyclopedia. Read about the Rothschilds, the Anglo-Iranian oil company. They own that. They actually were the people who founded the company that eventually became BP. Royal Dutch Shell became a Rothschild company. So, Shell Company, of course, we know it as a Royal Dutch Shell. There was the Asiatic Oil Company. There was one called Matsut Oil Company. And we could really go on with the different oil companies Rothschild had under various names. Now, the problem was that Rothschild and Rockefeller, back at the turn of the, as we moved into the 20th century, they were in competition with each other. Now, you may think that competition is good, but capitalist plutocrats don't like it. Rockefeller found right away that at one time, a barrel of oil, he could get only a dime. Today, of course, it's about $78 a barrel. 10 cents. Boy, how cheap was that driving your car around? Of course, cars were new. They were in their infancy, and so were airplanes. More and more, the world needed oil and fuel and gasoline and kerosene and so forth. You would think that he would be making, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds would be making a mint. The problem was they kept finding more and more oil. And then they had some competitors of their own. For example, there were the Nobel brothers. You know, like the Nobel Peace Prize? That's right, they founded that. The Nobel Prizes. Very rich Jews from Sweden. They got into the oil business, Nobel Oil Company, began to drill for oil in a place called Azerbaijan, a country which became a province of USSR, the Soviet Russian Communist Empire. Azerbaijan, a Muslim republic. They found in the city of Baku, which is on the coast there, in the Caucasus, they found that Baku had incredible amount of oil. The Nobel brothers began to drill for it. And when Rothschild and Rockefeller found out about that, they said, we've got to go into Azerbaijan, to the city of Baku. Pretty soon, Baku was filled with hundreds of thousands of people, oil engineers, oil workers, fixing the oil derricks, bringing in supplies and parts. Did you know that Rockefeller and Nobel invented the oil tanker? It was experimental at first. How can we get more and more oil across the oceans from Baku in Azerbaijan? Which was at the time, around the 1870 to 1890s era, an independent country. And the Azerbaijanis were more than happy to cooperate with the Nobel brothers and Rockefeller and Rothschild. All three were in there. Well, you know, the Nobel brothers were not anywhere near as big as the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, but they'd got there first. So those three were competing in what today we know as Azerbaijan, which for about 70 years during the Iron Curtain period of the Soviet Union was a province of Russia, but now is again, as it was up to that time in 1917 when the communists took over, an independent nation. But Baku became the most productive oil region in the whole world, more so than Spindletop, more so than Pennsylvania, where the Americans had found oil, more so than, well, everywhere the Rothschilds had found oil, in Africa, a little bit off the European coast, in Indonesia and a few places, and in the Middle East. Those were basically the Rothschild area of oil at that time. So, here's what we have then. We have these two great dynasties of the Illuminati, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, both into oil and banking, richest people in the world, and they were competing. And because they were competing, the price of oil went down. And finally, Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller, and he's been quoted many times as saying this, and you can read his biographies as I have, he said, darn it, competition is a sin. Now, you would think a capitalist billionaire wouldn't say such a thing. You think capitalism is competition. No, no, no. Capitalism, monopolistic cartel capitalism, is not by any means a matter of freedom in the marketplace. You're thinking of the system known as free enterprise system. That's different than capitalism. Capitalism often is when fascism, the end result of capitalism is fascism, wherein the rich own all the companies and all the resources, and the government cooperates with them. They're agents in government that they put in government, place at the highest places, like Obama and Bush and Clinton. This is a fascist system. And the corporations cooperate with the government. And if you don't think that BP is cooperating with Obama, you're absolutely wrong. And let's go back to BP now. Now, I'm going to return to Rockefeller and Rothschild and the Nobel Brothers at Baku, the number one oil-producing region in the world in 1917, in fact, all the way up to 1920. But they weren't happy because competition had produced lower prices. But they had a solution. Rockefeller and Rothschild got their little heads together, and in their greedy way, they came up with something quite unique called communism. Now, we'll talk about that in a minute, but first, I want to describe to you what has really been happening in our Gulf of Mexico. Whereas I explained in Planet Petroleum, my CD audio tape expose, the United States, the oil companies there, have discovered more oil in the Gulf of Mexico, off of our shores, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. And, of course, Mexico is right south there. There's more oil in the Gulf of Mexico than the Middle East could even imagine. More than Kuwait. More than United Arab Emirates. More than Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran. They're like peons compared to all the oil in the Gulf of Mexico. And with the new technology of deep drilling, even though there's a big tragedy that's occurred with that method, if it's done right, you go down deep there in the Gulf, and as you can see, there's a lot of oil down there. One oil well gone rogue has produced a catastrophe of environmental proportions. So you see how much oil is down there. Enough to fuel the United States, all the oil we need, probably for thousands of years in the Gulf of Mexico. But we also have the shale, the sands of Colorado, Utah, that Clinton, thanks to the oil company giving him a bribe, the oil companies, put off limits and said, oh, we got to make these national wilderness areas and all that. That's the way they do it, like they did in Colorado, Alaska. We also have Alaska, of course, with all of its oil untouched. And then we have a new area, unbelievable oil, in North and South Dakota, Montana, and Wyoming, called the Bakken, B-A-K-K-E-N, oil formation. There's more oil there than is found in the entire Middle East. Now, Mexico could also be a very rich country because they have their own oil company. It's been nationalized, called Petróleo Mexico, or Pemex. And they drill in the Gulf of Mexico. In fact, my friends, you know, those waters belong to the United States, basically. And we're not even counting Pacific and Atlantic Oceans, just the Gulf of Mexico. And I'm just, you know, I got out my calculator the other day, and it all depends on whether you count this or that or this or that. But the way I got it figured, counting the Bakken oil formation, public lands up there in the Dakotas and Montana and so forth, and the Gulf of Mexico, if we sold that oil in the world markets today, every man, woman, and child in America, all 300 million of us, even including the illegal aliens among us, are all worth about $5 million. You're rich, but you don't know it. You're rich, but you don't know it on public oil, public lands, public waters, owned by we the people. You're worth $5 million. You got a family of four, two children, a mom and a dad, $20 million. How would you like to have $20 million? All you have to do is reveal the truth, expose the oil companies and the fascist government we have in Washington, D.C., and demand they pay up. But they'll say, you're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. Why? As you know, President Obama has even issued an oil moratorium, a drilling moratorium. We can't be drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Ooh-wee. It could be an environmental disaster. Look what happened with the BP oil derrick. No. And we got to close off oil in the Bakken formation next. Yes. And in Alaska, we got to, oh, those poor elks. Can you imagine stepping in some gooey stuff, oil? We can't drill up there either. Nor can we drill on the Pacific coast or the Atlantic coast. In fact, we got to keep buying our oil from the Middle East, the potentates of the Middle East. We've got to be in Dutch. We've got to be captive, bondage economically to the Middle East potentates, the Arab sheikhs and so forth. Mm-hmm. Okay. But something strange has happened just recently. And I want to talk to you about it. Now, this is such a build-up, me talking about Baku in Azerbaijan and how the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers were competing for its oil and found a solution that they didn't have to compete anymore. Let's talk about, my friends, Rothschild's Black Gold Empire. Now, keep in mind, every person listening to my voice today is worth at least $5 million in oil. You're a titan. You're a magnate. You just don't know it. Well, now you do. The government didn't want you to know. ExxonMobil didn't want you to know. BP says, keep this quiet. Russia wants to keep it quiet because they want to sell their oil at a big price. The Rockefellers want to keep it quiet. Rothschild says, absolutely. Lie to those stupid peasants, those useless eaters. Lie to them. Keep them in the dark. I start off, my dear friends, with the book of Revelation. It says something quite interesting. Did you know in Revelation 6, verse 6, there's an interesting verse? 6, verse 6. There we find out about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Listen to what it says. John, the apostle, says in his vision, he says, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. There is going to be a preoccupation in the last days, dear friends, with food, wheat, and with barley. And then it says, see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. That's interesting. Seems like they've hurt the oil quite a bit. If that's the meaning of this, in the BP incident. The question is, was it really just an accident or was it done on purpose? And that's what my conspiracy scientist friends out there are asking me. Which is it? I'm here to confirm to you today, dear friends, it was done on purpose. It was done intentionally. It is a vast conspiracy of horrible criminal proportions. You see, whether this cap they're trying to put on works or not, the fact is this horrible disaster in the Gulf of Mexico has grown more and more dreadful each passing day. They've hurt the oil and our coastlands. and our economic prospects. They basically plundered America. In April of 2010, they plundered America's economic prosperity. We were already in bad shape, and now they've hurt us more. They've hurt our oil. And we own that oil, not BP, not the government, you and me. We should own it. But 100,000 barrels of black goo shooting up every day like a pluming rocket, straight up out of the fiery bowels of the seafloor. But you know, even as the residents of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and the other Gulf states became drenched in black misery on their coast, across the globe, there was a small clique of super rich plutocrats enjoying a quite different reaction. In fact, these calculating agents of deceit are even now celebrating the BP disaster with unmatched gleeful joy. I want to tell you, folks, there are billionaires in Europe, the United States, and believe it or not, Israel and China that were more than thrilled at what happened in the Gulf of Mexico. And I think they planned it, calculated it, pulled it off, destroyed that derrick, took lives, took that oil, took our economy, blackened America. It's an outrageous scheme, and it's worked to perfection. Now, I'm referring to Rothschild and his cohorts in crime, the newly minted billionaire oil oligarchs of Israel. You may not know there are oil men in Israel. I'm going to tell you about them today. Did you know there are capitalistic oil barons now in communist China? Israel and China now are the owners of most of the oil of this entire world. The oil that's being pumped out. Now, I know you're going to say, Israel? Israel? They don't have any oil. Oh, you're wrong. I'll tell you how. You're wrong in a minute. And communist red China, everybody knows they have to import all that oil. They don't have a lot of oil. Well, you're wrong. We'll get to that in just a moment. Friends, never in human history have so few profited so immensely while pulling the wool over the eyes of we, the ignorant, suffering masses. But you're not going to be ignorant after today's program. You're going to know. This is a dark, incredible reality. And as I said, your future is at stake. Now, remember I told you back when I did Planet Petroleum, and you can order that tape, I told you that the price of oil, which then had shot up to about $147 a barrel, was a bogus price. It was all a scam, a hoax, and the price was going to come tumbling down. And you know what? It did. It came tumbling down. Went all the way down to $32 a barrel. Now it's back up to $78. Oh, the big boys play with the price of oil, don't they? They play with the price of oil. Now, I want to tell you what has happened in this criminal activity. We're going to have to take a break now. When I return, I'm going to give it to you a step by step. You're going to find out who did the BP crime. Who did the BP crime on purpose? How it mirrors what happened in the Baku oil region in 1920, where Rothschild and the Rockefellers perpetrated a terrible criminal act. And you're going to see how this ties in with the American economy and your financial future. You're listening to Tex Mars, Power of Prophecy. This is a special program today on the Rothschild Black Gold Empire and the BP oil disaster. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Tex Mars here again. I'd like to tell you how to get Planet Petroleum, $8. Please add $5 shipping and handling. Or today's program, Rothschild's Black Gold Empire. So please order them by name. Planet Petroleum, $8. Or Rothschild's Black Gold Empire, $8, $5 each for shipping and handling. All you have to do is call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. You can also order them going to our website on the internet, powerofprophecy.com, and order there using your charge card. Our phone number to order using your charge card is, again, 1-800-234-9673. $13 postpaid for either one of these programs, Planet Petroleum or Rothschild's Black Gold Empire. To find out what really happened in the Gulf of Mexico and how it relates to something, a horrible act that was committed in 1920, 90 years ago, in Azerbaijan and what became the Soviet Union. Now, to write and get these, just write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. When you order, we'll send you our free newsletter, Power of Prophecy, that comes every month, absolutely free. We'll give you, as a minimum, a six-month subscription. All right? As always, we need your support, your financial help, and we thank you so much for ordering our products. Of course, if you can afford a love gift or donation, please tuck that into the envelope, too, in addition to your payment. Or even if you don't order the things, we certainly appreciate your help. We would not be here without your generosity, believe me. We also appreciate your prayers, and it is our privilege to pray for you. And if you would like us to do so, you don't even really have to tell us if it's a private matter, but you need prayer help, just write and say, I've got a private situation, Brother Tex. I'd like you to pray for us, and I'll be glad to do that. Okay? Be glad to, Sister Wanda and I'd be glad to pray for you. We keep everything confidential here, so you're welcome to tell us what the problem is. Maybe you have a private problem of health. So many of you do. I know I do from time to time. Well, God is a great healer, and we'll certainly pray for you along those lines. There are other things, too. So many people are hurting today financially. They've lost jobs. Social Security is not enough even to live on, really, and a lot of people are just trying to get by every day. We want to pray that God will expand your means to live, just as he did there before the Sermon on the Mount, back when he was here in the flesh as Emmanuel, God with us, when Jesus multiplied the fishes and the loaves. He can do that in your life, too, in a very miraculous way, and we'll pray for your needs. Again, just write to us at Power of Prophecy, our address, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about what happened in the Gulf of Mexico and how it furthered the oil billionaires of the nation of Israel, the nation of China, to some extent the United States, but especially the Rothschild oil and banking interest of the world. Now, let me explain exactly what happened. Now that I've investigated this, and of course, I put everything together, connected all the dots, and you know, it's not just a exploration or discovery since April. I've been looking into these matters of the oil of the world and how Rockefeller and Rothschild have divided up the spoils for many, many years, and everything works together, dear friends, throughout history. Now, first of all, it all what is very immediate in the Gulf of Mexico, although it started back in Azerbaijan, which became part of the Soviet Union in 1920, let's go back just a while ago to the invasion of the United States, by the United States, of Saddam Hussein and Iraq. Now, under the ruse of preventing Saddam Hussein from launching non-existent weapons of mass destruction, just a bunch of baloney, he was no threat to us at all, Bush and Cheney had a plan. This plan already was developed by they and the oil titans and the Rothschilds before Bush even took office. The plan was to invade Iraq, depose Saddam Hussein, and seize that nation's store of oil. Now, Iraq is second only to Saudi Arabia in global oil production. Think of it. One fell swoop, and all the Iraqi oil belongs to, well, who does it belong to? Doesn't belong to Iraq anymore. No, don't believe what you read. The American troops seized the oil production, the what few oil pipes existed, pipelines. They seized all the tank storage, all the oil derricks. That's why we needed so many troops in Iraq. They were not operating in the major cities. They were operating to seize, grab, and then protect the oil fields and pipelines. And then America brought in Halliburton. What do you think Halliburton, the big oil driller and oil pipeline maker, what do you think they were in there for? You think they were building buildings back, electric plants? No. They were repairing all the oil refineries and such, all of the production facilities, and building new pipelines. Where do these pipelines go? Now, we've been there for about a decade, haven't we? There in Iraq. Now we have pipelines not only going down to the coast there in the Persian Gulf, but we have two huge pipelines into Israel. And we have pipelines going into the Lebanese coast cities controlled by Israel. Why do you think Israel a couple years ago attacked southern Lebanon to destroy the Hezbollah? They captured all of the port cities there in southern Lebanon. And there's where the big tankers come in. And Israel on their coast and on the Lebanese coast controlled by Israel, huge tankers come in. And these pipelines from Iraq now are bringing millions and millions of barrels of oil over to the tankers. Who's getting the money? His name is Rothschild. And, of course, there are a number of Israeli oil men now. They weren't oil men before. Where's all the money going to? It's going into the banks of Tel Aviv, Israel's financial capital. And, of course, there are other banks in Great Britain, in France, and the United States where the oil money is coming into. But the oil of Iraq, the world's second largest producing nation of oil, is now in the hands of Rothschild and his cronies in Israel. You see, the USA built permanent military bases. Notice the word permanent. Oh, I know. They told you they would be out of there eventually. Once peace was established and an Iraq government existed. Mm-hmm. But they'll always be needed because there's always destabilizing going on. Terrorist acts in Baghdad, Fallujah, and other cities. Caused, of course, by the Israeli Mossad and the American CIA. And as long as the country is destabilized, we can't possibly, Obama will tell you, take out our troops. We've got to leave a large contingent there. Of course, if you really checked, you'd find where that contingent was. No longer in the Iraqi cities. They're protecting the pipelines. They're protecting the oil storage facilities. And the fields. From who? Well, the Iraqi people. We're keeping it from the Iraqis. And it's going into Israel through the pipelines that have been built by the Americans. Now, where does the oil go from Israel? All this gigantic stores of oil owned by Rothschild oil companies. Where's it going? It goes to China. They have a voracious appetite for oil. With all of their industry in China now. They're one of the world's superpowers. They build cars, televisions, all kinds of things. Seems like everything we buy in America is made in China. That's true in Europe too. The waiting oil tankers at Lebanese and Israeli ports, owned by Rothschild, are going to China. Now it's interesting. I was reading about China's oil industry and I've read it quite extensively. Says China became an oil importing country in 1993. It had an insatiable hunger for oil, according to the reports I read. But now they're actually shipping out oil. They're exporting it. The reason is because up to 25 new oil refineries have been built in China by Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, HSBC, and other banks controlled by the Rothschilds. Now, in the United States, there are only 4, as I understand it, operating oil refineries, you know, giving us gasoline. Just 4. The environmentalists, they say, the mean old environmentalists won't let us build anymore. Well, it appears like they don't have any environmentalists in China, and they built 25. Now, they're getting all this oil from the Middle East, from Iraq. They're refining it, keeping a lot of it, paying for it, of course, to the Rothschilds. And then the rest of it, they're sending out in tankers all over the world. A lot of the oil and the gasoline, when it's refined in China, goes to India. Another country that's a growing, incredible juggernaut. So China, and then to a lesser extent India, is getting all the oil from Iraq. Now remember Cheney said, Dick Cheney, our vice president at the time, said, hey, to attack Iraq and occupy Iraq won't cost us a penny. Because once we take it, we'll start selling the oil and the American treasury will be reimbursed for the invasion. But you know what? Just never happened. Who's been getting the money for the last decade? New pipelines? Over $1 trillion, no doubt, in oil going to China and to India. Created an entire oil industry in China and India. Did you know that 10 years ago, China did not have one oil company in the top 100 oil companies in the whole world? The top 100 oil companies, China, not one of them was Chinese. But also, did you know that according to Energy Intelligence, energyintel.com, very well-known source, they ranked the world's top 50 oil companies this last month. Guess which company sits at number 5? China Petroleum. They're almost as big as ExxonMobil now, owned by China, the red commies, the oil barons in Beijing and Shanghai, Hong Kong, the 5th largest company in the world in oil. And they have another one in the top ranks too, called Sinopec Oil Company. It says India and China brings in oil from all over the world, especially the Middle East, it says here. Wow. And the bottom line is that this is from India Daily Newspaper, February 16th. It says, the bottom line is that whoever gets to use the oil will grow faster and eventually dominate the world. Well, Rothschild has created a monstrous oil industry in China that he owns along with the Chinese communist oil barons. And the Israeli oil barons, newly made, freshly minted, also are part of this system. So the 3 most powerful oil companies in the world, or 3 most powerful oil, I should say, I wouldn't call them companies because Rothschild owns many companies. But Rothschild, Israel, and China, they're it. America is a declining oil company. That's why they closed down the Gulf of Mexico. Now, do you sort of understand what happened? They could get a lot more for their stolen Iraqi oil that Rothschild and Israel are shipping to China, if only that United States with all that oil capability was closed down. Close it down. And that's what they did. They went in, they blew up the oil derrick. Who did it? I believe it was done by a British submarine because Rothschild is in Great Britain. He controls the British government. That's why Britain is side by side with us in Iraq, in Afghanistan. In every adventure of the New World Order Army, they're standing right beside us. That's because Rothschild is there. He runs the place. In World War II, Victor Rothschild, one of the Rothschilds, controlled British intelligence. And at the same time, he was a member of the Soviet Union intelligence. He was a communist spy. But not really. They knew he was communist. Everything Britain did, every weapon system, every battle, Stalin knew. Victor Rothschild talked to him almost on a daily basis by phone. Now, let's go a little deeper. Rothschild, remember, is Israel's hidden dictator and financial overlord. You may think that Netanyahu is the prime minister, but Rothschild is the king of Israel. And the Iraqi oil is owned lock, stock, and barrel by Rothschild's front companies. The profit now reaches obscene levels. Of course, the Iraqi, the corrupt politicians there, even the mullahs, the imams of Islam, they get their little cut too. Everybody is happy, except the American public. Meanwhile, as I said, in China, and to a lesser extent India, Rothschild and his Jewish banking minions of Israel have founded dummy national oil corporations, fronts, and an astonishing number of new oil refineries. We're not building any new refineries in America. They're building them every day in China. They're the major petroleum suppliers of the whole world. They've got the Iraqi oil going right to them. China possesses little oil of its own. There is oil off the Vietnam coast, Indonesia, and many areas over there. And China has a little bit, but not much. But they don't need it because all of their oil largesse comes from their cooperative dealings with Rothschild, Israel, and the United States. We are using our military power, our prowess, our diplomatic power to take over the entire Middle East, so that Israel and Rothschild and China can become the three most powerful forces on earth. China's the role model. That's the way they want America to be. They want us to be another China. Don't you understand? That's why the Jewish company Macy's Department Stores has the Red Star. That's why the Red Star was displayed in Obama's campaign headquarters around the United States during the 2008 presidential campaign. The Chinese Red Star is in league with the Rothschild Red Shield. And we're now a red communist country. And the completion of our communist system and control by Rothschild and these Jewish agents is now in the final stages here in America. But our petroleum industry, once the most powerful in the world, must be brought down to nothing. And that's what they did in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, we have a big naval base, submarine base, in fact, in a place called Kings Bay, Georgia, on the Gulf Coast. Did you know the biggest submarine base in the United States is there? And they have a strategy center, a headquarters, teaches the naval officers all about how to conduct submarine warfare. I visited it before because I spent a lot of time in the Air Force on the Gulf Coast at Biloxi Air Force Base, Keesler Air Force Base, where I went to one school for several months, in fact. Kings Bay submarines. And I found out something quite interesting. Did you know that British submarines visit there all the time? In fact, that's where they go to be armed for their operations on this side of the Atlantic. British submarines come to Kings Bay Naval, U.S. Naval submarine base on the Gulf Coast, very near the BP oil derrick, and load up with torpedoes, underwater bombs, underwater mines. By the way, Britain is now having a dispute with Argentina over the Malvinas Islands right off of Argentina, which obviously has a lot of oil there, they say, in the coastal lands south of us and off of Argentina. The government of Argentina said, we own the Malvinas Islands, the Falklands it's called also. They had a actual hot war back there, 20 years ago? Britain won. But Britain now has submarines and naval warships down there in Argentina. And they come back to Kings Bay, U.S. Naval Air Station, get their refueling, get rearmed and all that stuff. I believe one of those British submarines just went right over next door and shot from its torpedoes, shot the underwater mines out. They have new mines now. You know, in the old days, you see the movies, they would slowly be dropped off the ships and they would slowly go down. They were sort of dumb. Now they have smart ones. Did you know they have magnetic ones, radar controlled and so forth? Electronic. And these suckers can actually swim for miles looking for their target. Can you believe it? The submarine has like TV monitors, and they see it, and they just guide it. It can actually walk on the bottom of the sea. These torpedoes, these underwater mines. Now let me read you something quite interesting that you may not have heard about, because it was immediately covered up in the national press, but you can still get it on google.com. You can find it. Orange Beach, Alabama. It seemed, let me just read it to you. News 5, Channel 5 News of Mobile, Alabama, has a crew on the scene, it says here. A bomb has been found on the beach. Let's see, what date is this? Here we go, July the 7th, just a few days ago. Authorities say that British BP workers cleaning the beach from the oil problem found the device, a bomb. Around 9 this morning, the device, the underwater mine or bomb, is disc-shaped, about 3 feet wide, and appears to weigh about 500 pounds. It was found in the surf line, washed up. And I have a picture of it, friends, and I'm going to put it on my webpage here in a few days. In fact, there's a little film of it. They cordoned off the area. They called in the Coast Guard with construction fence. They cordoned it off. But the enterprising TV news guy, he had one of these telephoto cameras, and he brought it right in. Great big ball that looked like spikes all over it. A bomb. Now, I suspect, dear friends, that the Coast Guard and the Navy will say, oh, it was a World War II surplus bomb. Yeah, why didn't it wash up in the last 60 years? Why didn't it wash up during one of the many hurricanes that happened in the Gulf of Mexico? Why was it found by the BP petroleum workers cleaning up the beach? An underwater mine bomb was found. A British submarine, absolutely, in my mind, it's my opinion from my investigation of the way things work here, finding out, according to sources, that these submarines from Britain are armed with torpedoes and other materials at Kings Bay. That's what happened. Now, why didn't they just send an American submarine to do the dirty work? Let me tell you, my friends, I was in the Air Force for 20 years, and I'd have said not no, but you know what, no. They have a problem with Americans. American military people can be awfully cranky about killing other Americans and about destroying America's environment, about ripping America off. You know, it just seems that these young men and women that go into military service today are really patriotic. You know, they did a survey of Marines in a California Marine base some years ago. They asked them the question. The Department of Defense actually had an official survey and asked them, they said, if you were ordered to go from house to house taking away the guns of Americans, would you do it? If you were ordered by military authorities, you Marines, would you do it? Did you know, I think it was like 78 or 80% said no. Even if they were given a direct order, they would not go from house to house confiscating guns from American citizens. So they've got to do all these dirty deeds with foreign intelligence services, with foreign militaries. They've got to use the Russians or the British or somebody else. Americans won't do it. Came out just last year that they wanted American SEALs of the Navy to pretend to be Iraqi sailors from the Iraqi naval forces. And they were going to get these, you know, these cigar-shaped fast boats and go fire. And they were given the order, you dress up like Iraqi sailors and go fire on an American warship in the Persian Gulf. See, they were looking to create an accident or an incident. And I can see the headlines, just like at the Tonkin Bay in Vietnam. Look what happened. The Iraqis are firing on us. But the Navy SEALs knew two things. One is they were not about to fire on an American ship. They're U.S. Navy personnel. Second, they can see what was going on. They wanted a world war there. They wanted the capability to destroy Iraq and blame it on Iraq and say Iraq fired on our ship with their naval patrol boats. It was all hocus. the Navy personnel said, no, we will not do it. Well, that ended that. My understanding, my friends, from my sources tell me that the U.S. Army, right after Saddam Hussein was overthrown, was told to go and plant weapons of mass destruction on military bases of Iraq. They said, hell no. Excuse that bad expression. They said no. So Bush had to shamefacedly and Cheney, we can't find any weapons of mass destruction. That's right, because the U.S. military refused to plant them. They never were there in the first place. Bush and Cheney knew it. The American military fighting man and woman are proud. They're patriotic. Oh, there's a few nuts out there. I know that. But not most of them. They're not going to kill Americans. If they open up the concentration camps and the gulags in America, they're going to have guards that are from China or Somalia or some other country. Because the American soldiers won't do it. That's a big problem for them. Now, I want you to know something. China is now the number one oil spigot for the world. BP is the scapegoat. But don't worry. $20 billion it has to pay out to the people, the businessmen and the fishermen hurt. It's just chump change to Rothschild, Israel, and China and the oil industry. Now back to Baku. Guess what happened at Baku? Rothschild and Rockefeller, back in the early 1900s, came up with an accord, with a pact. They said, I'll tell you what we'll do. Since both of us are competing so heavily in Baku, fighting for, you know, competing for the oil, let's just close it all down. Let's close it all down and drive out the Nobels. That's about the only oil the Nobels have of Sweden. So let's have the commies take over Russia, close up all the industry, pauperize the Russian people, who cares about them anyway. And as soon as Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin are in power, they can send their forces down to Baku and massacre most of the people there, including all the oil executives, all the oil engineers, many of the oil workers, and put a torch to the oil fields. What a waste. Baku oil fields. In April of 1920, isn't that interesting? April, the same month as the BP oil disaster in 2010. In 1920, Lenin actually declared, he announced, a week of plunder. They conquered Azerbaijan, the Russian communist troops, and they slaughtered hundreds of thousands, especially all the Christians they could find in Baku, this big booming city. They torched most of the oil fields. And my friends, it wasn't until the communist empire fell, and in 1991, when the oil began coming out in any kind of quantity at all. And when Baku went up in flames, Russia was leveled to the ground economically. It didn't have the oil resources anymore to sell to the world. But the price of oil boomed because of the Rockefeller Rothschild having no competition. And now the American oil spigot is being turned off, and all the oil of the Middle East owned by the Rothschilds and the other oil titans, and especially the new ones of Russia and Israel, are rich beyond measure. And now you know what really happened in the Gulf of Mexico this last April and who's responsible. I'm Tex Mars. It's been my pleasure to talk to you today to reveal the truth. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.